Human, you are entering an improvised comedy show, restricted to humans only. Improv for Humans, with Matt Besser. Today is a special music episode. Based on our musical guests' beautiful live performances, Matt and crew will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's improvisers are Ronnie Adrian and Dan Lippert. Today's musical guest is Telethon.
Welcome to Improv for Humans. This is Matt Besser for another special musical guest, Improv for Humans. I have two guys with great musical taste here, Ronnie and Dan, and of course, Brett with great musical taste. We're all here in LA, but we have Telethon in New York City, Sirius XM Studios. Welcome, guys.
Thanks Hello. For having us.
Hi.
Howdy.
Yes, I wish our listeners could see, but we got this real cool studio set up there, getting some multi-cam looks at the band. You guys are from Philadelphia. No, you guys are from Milwaukee, right?
There
Milwaukee.
We go. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
It was a good save.
That was a good save. That was a good save by me.
Milwaukee proud.
And I love Milwaukee. Are you guys Bucks fans?
Of course. Sure. Oh,
yeah.
Of
course, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bobby Portis.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Coach Bud.
Yeah. Got to have that sweatband on for Bobby Portis.
You see, I could talk about Bobby Portis for at least 15 minutes, but we won't do that because these guys are such a good band. I just came fans of them like this year, but I have their albums, Hard Pop, and I believe the latest one is Swim Out Past the Breakers, right? That's the latest
That's
one,
the
or you guys
one,
have a
yep.
new one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That one's one, really yeah. good.
Oh, thank you.
All your guys' stuff is good. This type of band I would book at a festival, Brett. Of course, I'd book them at my Besser Music Festival, but I'd put them on around, it's what time I'd put them on is key. And I'd put him on around that. I trust them during party time, basically.
Wow.
Yes. Like in the prime time, anywhere from 8 to midnight, really. But like, I bet like when you're programming a festival, you want like, I would want around 8, them around 8 p.m. when I truly need to start getting the energy up. Because you don't want some bummer band. Even if they're good there, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're in.
Yeah, we're on the same
witching hour is our
hours, we can play at 3 p.m. too. That's also kind of a low-key time to get the party cranked up.
You know, God bless those bands that have to do anywhere before that in the day.
I was just going to say, I just saw a festival where the Hives played the 3 p.m. set and they rocked me. But then I was done. I was like, all right, I'm going home at 4. That's all I
need. But you got to see the Hives.
Whenever the whole festival.
Whenever the Hives play, they're going to be the headliner, no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
They're gonna,
My apologies
gonna be
to
the
Franz
end.
Ferdinand for leaving early.
Sorry, you really like their one song.
Oh. Yeah, I listened to that song like 1 million times in a row in high school. That was a great
Aberdeen
song.
Aberdeen City? Is that what it's called?
Oh, is that the one you're thinking of? No, the one I'm thinking of is the I Know I Won't Be Leaving Here.
Take Me Out.
Okay.
Take Me Out.
You,
yeah.
I like your cover better, dude.
Yeah, have an acapella version. I like
it. Okay. Well, I think you guys know how the show works. You're going to play a song, and then we're going to be inspired by that the lyrics of that song and maybe even the energy of it to do a couple of scenes, and then we'll rinse and repeat. So
okay.
What do you guys want to do first here?
We're going to do Self-Starter AE as our first song off of the Swim Out Past the Breakers record.
Try a service and let's speak.
Capra to the front of the line. And they get long because the government workers cutting all of the next citizens' lives. I watched a film where it was no big deal from around 1965. There were no seatbelts, and smoke on board. The crew was all drunk by the peak of the climb. Outer space still up above. All the amps straight down below, and still the automatic herb was in the foreground. I can't help but slip into the background now. I never thought that it could end like this. I never thought that it would bend. I swear I didn't, but it did. I never thought that it would end like this. I never thought that it could bend. I swear I didn't. Hey, but it did, but it did, but it did, but it did. And now I'm picking up the pieces of my life. I swear it got harder.
Got harder.
And I swear I'm out of the book in early March. I'd gone self-starter.
Self-starter.
We're afraid the breaks are these. Mistook the forest for the trees. You built no gutter on your eaves. And now the mold has grown appendages. And just asked if it can leave. Still the automatic earth is in the foreground.
Wow, that was great, guys.
Thank you.
Did we pass the audition for your music festival?
You already had, but I was going to say, you know, that's the song to get the party started right there.
Yeah.
It's like 3 p.m. and people are kind of milling about. Like you said, you asked for the challenge spot now.
We want
it's
it.
The one to get the whole festival. Like people are like still buying t-shirts and looking for drinks and corn on the cob, buying falafel.
My favorite festival start.
What are you talking about, Ronnie? First bands go on at least around 3, right? Come on.
Usually. I mean, I guess it depends on the festival. I've seen, when they have, those all-day really festivals that can go for, 2 days or whatever, they usually have, bands going, all right, this first band can start at, 12 or something.
Yeah, we've
You played, mean even earlier? Noon?
Yeah, noon.
Okay, yeah, Bester Festival's starting at noon.
I think that's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how many bands you have. I mean, the thing that I always think about festivals is that I always forget how dusty they are. I always go into it and be like, all right, cool, da-da-da. And then by the end, I'm like, oh, wow, it's way dustier than I was anticipating.
Yeah. Just thinking of dusty corn on the cob, because that was sandstorm. The only treat that was explained for your festivals.
This isn't a low tech.
That's why at the Bester Festival, we put spice on the ground before people get there.
Is that tahini or is it sand? Who knows?
Spice like
every
dune
stage
or
has
spice
different
like
spice zone.
Both. We're sponsored by the dune. HBO Max. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, no, no, please. It's your festival.
No, I think you were about to say something about the song, right?
Well, yeah, when I first listened to it, this is a funny question because I'm hilarious. No, because I can't tell if it's rude, but is regrets being purposefully pronounced a little wrong?
No regrets. Yeah.
You're saying regrets.
Regrets.
Okay, it sounds like regrets.
That's not true. yeah, I think it just fits a little better. No, great. No regrets. That doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, you're right.
The part is the important part of the word for us in this song.
But now I'm reconsidering.
Oh no, don't do it. It was making me think. I truly was dumbly thinking, is this influenced by this commercial where a guy gets a tattoo that says regrets instead of regrets? Where it's ironic that it's mispronounced a little bit.
I think you could read it that way, Dan. In a valid way, I think.
Yeah, that's a funny commercial though.
Could we overdub his thing now to say regerts? Just like,
yeah, yeah.
Don't do it. Don't please do not change your song because of that idea.
Fits right in.
We cut to after the show in the Improv for Humans green room. Hey, Dan. Ooh, wow, great question.
Great crowd.
The studio audience was great. Wish they'd worn masks, but It's just good to have the enthusiasm.
Yeah, you can't really tell if they're enjoying themselves if you can't see their smiling faces, huh? Mm-mm.
No, that's why I tell them to do the thumbs up every time they're laughing.
Yeah.
And every time I like to like an idea to do jazz hands.
It really helped me find the game. It would be a great work for exercise for class.
That should be the future of improv, is putting more responsibility on the audience to help us find the game.
I've always said that.
You have always said that. But anyway, hey, do you have a little regrets about that first question in the show? Calling the guy out? I think he thought it's because he's from Milwaukee and right. They talk there. Say regrets weird.
Look, I mean, between you and me, Bester, we all heard it, right? I mean, the whole thing is like, you call out the unusual. It sounds like regrets, almost.
No, I don't think it sounds like regrets. Oh, my gosh. Oh, hey, you guys, come on in. Grab a water.
Sorry, I kept their mic. I kept your mics on.
Oh, yeah, that's
they
cool.
They can hear everything
hey.
You're saying.
Hey.
That's cool. What's up, y'all? The music's great. The song's great. I can be a little more, you know, I think that's why you have me on, is because I'll say the stuff no one's going to say.
Is that why you say you're the Howard Stern of my guest?
Yeah, baby. I mean,
is it because you see the SiriusXM sign and you got all jazzed up?
Look, man, it's SiriusXM now. People want hard-hitting cursing. With ads for men's hair growth in between episodes. All right.
All right. The regrets thing, I got that. But then when you start going, hey, fellas, any blowjobs on tour? Like, that had nothing to do with their song.
Look, every band's got a blowjob story. And if you're going to have the Howard Stern of improv on your show, you're going to get the big question.
Question is if we'll share them with you. Yeah, fellas, I'm not that kind of show. Okay, I didn't want you to think, because the logo behind you that all
we would make
ask
a quick,
about
serious exit.
Jobs.
An exit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that. But, you know, I apologize, Bester. If that's not what you want, I'll
Dan, you say some. You say some words weird, too, I bet. Haven't you ever had someone go, that's actually not the way it's said?
I would rather you don't turn this around on me and kind of, you know.
And I don't think people sing the same way they talk, you know.
Right, you know? Right.
Like if Axl Rose was welcoming me to a jungle.
I'm not going to let you just walk past that right now. We're not going to ignore you. So what, Axl Rose welcoming you to a jungle? What is that even? Like he's Lawrence welcoming you? Idiot.
Wow, you were.
Hey, Dan. Sorry, I'm late. Is this where you want me to sit?
Yeah. That's great. That's great right there. Okay. Take a load off.
Oh, we got, hi.
Hi. I'm the Robin to Dan's Howard Stern. So I just kind of, you know, smile a bunch and then just kind of repeat what he says in like a more upbeat upbeat tone.
Yeah, this is Robin.
Someone
Robin-y.
To bounce off your ideas off of.
Yeah, you know, it just helps me kind of gauge what I'm doing there, and
you got to gauge what he's doing.
Yes, don't I, Robin-y? Don't I?
Okay, fellas. First off, I think that's a harsh judgment of Robin. And also, she should have been here when you were whipping out all those blowjob questions, which was highly inappropriate for my show.
Dan, you're asking blowjob questions? Maybe they don't want to answer.
You know me, Robin-y. You know me, Robin-y.
Robin-y.
Well, look, you know, I to your point, yes, I do think that the pronunciation should match the song, and if not, they should own it. I met James Hetfield once, and I heard him say the word matters exactly like that. You know, he is as authentic on stage as he is in person.
Well, I just, when it comes to those words, I just don't think it matters.
All right. Well, you know, we could get a little honesty out of you, Bester. I mean, what's it been like
what's
in the pandemic?
Word?
It's a tough time. Yeah. What's a word? What's a
word?
I was actually getting more sweaty about being honest about a word I can't say.
What is a word you can't say? What's a word you can't say?
I don't say nuclear right.
Oh, nuclear.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let me play with that. What's there?
Why do you have to play with it? Why can't you just empathize with me? That's the old Dan. Yeah. The guy would show me how I was old and out of touch. And I go, oh, now I get it. And it seems you've lost that empathy with this Robin-y character you're hanging out with.
Yeah, well, old Dan's dead. Old Dan got tired of having very little success and now is huge as this kind of shocking improviser character.
All right, so, Besser, what we're going to do is we're going to have you try to say the word nuclear as you sit on this big speaker. Make sure your asshole is touching the speaker base, so therefore when it vibrates...
This is so awkward and embarrassing. But I'll do it.
This is, Besser, if you were anywhere between like 10 and 20 when Private Parts came out, this scene is burned into your brain.
Let's talk some more about that song.
Do you remember that scene?
I think I do. Is this what, go ahead. With
I think
the
it's with Jenna Jameson or something like that in the movie. Right. He has her sit on a, yeah, he has her call into the show and sit on, it, maybe it's her. Is that right, Ronnie?
It's some blonde woman. And so it could be Jenna Jameson.
Yeah.
It's just funny because it's like, that was like, I feel like that came out like right around the time, you know, before like it was just readily available to just see naked people anytime you wanted to in any on any platform. It's like, oh, there's naked people in this movie. Like when you're scrolling on TV and you're like, oh, okay, I know there's a scene where somebody gets naked here, so I'll just watch.
Yeah.
I was slightly older and more mature at that time, but you might have had a woman to look at.
Yeah, not us.
Hey, sometimes it doesn't even matter, man.
It doesn't. You know? It doesn't sometimes.
Nothing
but let's get
else
back
matters.
To the lyrics of this song. So what is the inspiration for Self-Starter, if you don't mind?
Self-Starter A.E., right?
A-E. Is that what you
said? Yeah. Yep. A.E., Automatic Earth.
So what does that mean?
Well, that song, and it was written like, in the year 2020, and so I'm thinking back about what it means. I haven't thought about it since then. It's about how your life continues on a forward trajectory, and then things can put a sudden stop to that forward trajectory. There, I mispronounced trajectory. Without any notice, and can throw everything off, and then you're all out of whack, and it's helpful to keep the automatic earth in the foreground of your mind because it's the earth continues spinning, the world keeps moving, even though your plans have been halted.
I like that. Was that based on the pandemic or did it happen before it?
It actually happened. Well, now that you mention it, it might have happened because of... No, I think it was like I was gearing up. I was trying to do something in my life, and then, you know, couple bad emails came through and rejections from various things and all these things. I had put my eggs in one basket, and then that basket just got tipped right over. I think it was pre-pandemic, but then the pandemic kind of solidified that because everybody's plans got halted. So I had a little bit of clairvoyance there, maybe.
Yeah, that's crazy that you wrote a song about getting disappointed that your plans get halted by stuff out of your control before the pandemic.
That is pretty crazy.
Are you being sarcastic to me?
No. No. I'm not at all. I really, like, I would have assumed it was during the pandemic, and it's crazy that that, like, idea okay. was already.
You know, maybe it was part of our
circling
plan.
Circling around your mind.
Oh, yeah, boy. Sure. Uh-oh. Yeah, it's much more boring than any sort of conspiratorial, you know, anything to do with COVID. It's just more about domestic woes, you know?
Okay, I didn't even think it was a conspiracy before you mentioned it. Now it sounds like you wrote a song about the pandemic before the pandemic.
That's I was reading
then
between
somehow
the lines.
In a lab,
I was reading between the lines of what you were implying.
Yeah.
Or more what Dan was implying. He seems to be questioning everything here.
I really don't like that I am coming off that way. I'll do better.
Stern isn't really like a conspiracy guy, I don't think, right?
No.
I don't think so. I think he's a literalist, yeah. But I don't know enough about him.
So we cut to a big hen farm. I'm sorry. Who's the manager here?
I'm the manager.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Ronnie, right?
Yeah, yes, it's on the name tag. And also, this is Ronnie's hen farm. So I'm him.
Sorry. I did. Sometimes the manager isn't always the guy who runs it. Owns the place. But anyway, look, you might remember I was in here 8 a.m. picking up a load of eggs, eggs.
Oh, yeah. Your hair's a little bit more slicked down today or right now, because this morning it was like all over the place. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's part of my story, actually. So, remember I put them, you told me not to, but I'd already brought that big bowl to transport all my eggs in.
Right. Yeah. And I said, don't do that. There's a much easier way to do this. Much, much more efficient way to do this.
Yes. I don't, this isn't my thing. I don't normally work with eggs in quantity like this.
Okay.
This is basically just for an Easter parade.
Okay. So what seems to be the problem then?
Okay. Do you know that where they're doing construction about 20 miles down the highway?
Oh, yes. I've driven past there every now and then.
And they say slow down, but I'm like, there's no one around. Why should I slow down? I assume it's a weekend, even though the cones are still up. Mm-hmm. Long story short, maybe it's already long. I hit a pothole or something in the highway that I guess they're working on, and all my eggs break. And
okay, so you just want
the eggs.
So you just want to buy more eggs?
Oh, I don't have any more eggs, and the parade is really counting on this. We've built the whole theme around it being real eggs, because the eggs were made out of roses every other year. There's time to make rose eggs for our float. And I was the one that really pushed for let's help out this industry and buy real eggs.
Well, okay. Well, we have a few hens that are really overdoing it this season, really just overachieving. So we can grab some more eggs for you. So the same eggs, you know what? I even give you the same deal, same price for the same amount of eggs. Yeah, and this time maybe listen to how I say to put the eggs on your truck.
Ah, Jesus.
And this is still the truck. It's still the truck with no flatbed back, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You definitely would want more of an enclosed automobile if you're going to be like delivering stuff, especially something specific like eggs.
Yeah. I feel like an idiot now, not just trusting you, because here's the thing.
Yeah, you argue me down pretty bad. Like,
and I'm sorry I yelled at you and used one of my eggs.
Yeah.
I thought about not even coming back. I thought, no, he's just going to be mad, not even talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Being an egg man for the last 25 years, I've dealt with a lot of, you know, disgruntled people throughout the years. But no one's ever thrown my own egg at me. That was definitely a new thing I had to kind of deal with this morning. I had to talk to my therapist. I had an emergency session. So that's why I'm a little bit more calm now.
Chance to talk to my therapist because it's such a big day. And I'm the head of organizing this whole parade float. And I'm so uptight and anal that, you know, I thought I'd be saving time because the eggs are going to be stacked in a bowl on the float. And I'm like, let's just put them directly into that bowl and I'll save time. But that was stupid. I should have just kept them in the cartons.
Right. All right. So how many eggs do you need?
I need 144.
Okay. 144 eggs.
Yeah. I need what the hell?
That's my prize hen. That's Helga, the prize hen. Helga, what's going on?
It seems disgruntled.
Oh, Helga, no, but this is business, Helga. He just, we have to.
We cut to the place where everyone's waiting for the eggs to be delivered, and they drive in very fast with the hen and the farmer. Oh shit! Okay, there they are. God damn it! She's only laid like two eggs in transit.
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Helga is laying eggs slow in protest because of how you treated me this morning.
Oh, Jesus. And there'd be some karma.
And so if when we get to the festival, if you could get on the big mic in front of everybody in the audience and apologize to me and Helga, I think maybe Helga will be able to shoot out 142 more of those puppies for you.
God damn it. This is exactly the type of thing I don't like to do. I don't like to apologize. I don't like to admit I'm wrong. And I don't like public speaking. Fuck it. We cut to him apologizing. All right. Am I supposed to speak into this mic? excuse me. All right.
Cough away from the mic. When the cough happens, do it away from the mic, not into it. We've got to get, now we got to get a new mic sleeve.
Okay. All right. Look, guys.
Yeah, where's the bull?
Hey, you're not a bull. Where's that guy on stage? And he's sweating so much.
I'm not bull a bull filled with eggs.
Bull okay of eggs.
Guys, I know I've been... Okay, look. Let's think about this day and what this day is about. Easter. The day, yes, to all of us, even if you're not Christian. Even if you're not Christian, it's a crazy story, right? Right?
Why is he vamping? Where's the bowl of eggs?
Was it in Jesus' plans to get crucified? I don't know. Maybe it was. It seems like he did have an inkling that was going to happen. Was it in the Pontius Pilate's plans that this guy would come back in 3 days? Probably not. But sometimes you have to pivot in life. Not all the eggs will arrive that you plan on. Sometimes you want there to be 144 eggs stacked in this really cool pattern that we all talked about for months. It would have been cool. And we got the perfect bowl to put it in.
Oh, I gotta see this bowl.
We can bring out the bowl. Hey, guys, can you get the bowl?
Are you sure? A bowl with no eggs? It's not even a bowl. It's a I don't even know what
there's
it is.
There's a couple of eggs.
Okay, well, here we go.
Guys, here's the reality of what happened today. Is there any more eggs, Ronnie?
Helga's not satisfied with anything.
Just the two?
Yeah. Helga's not okay. satisfied with anything you've said so far.
Okay. Well, I won't apologize because I was mean to this farmer. Because he didn't want to put all the eggs in one bowl. I assume that hen, I don't know farming, but I assume that hen is mad at me too. Which is weird because hens are treated in poor conditions.
If you apologize to Helga, I think you'll be surprised with what happens next. Oh.
This is like Charlotte's Web. Helga, should I touch it or just talk to it?
Just talk to it. Just like women, they don't like to be touched without consent.
Well, some women like to be pat on the head like this. Oh! Helga, I am so... I did have one girlfriend who did like that. She was calming.
I'm about your girlfriend.
Helga, I'd like to say I'm sorry for the way I treated your farmer and the way I assume that you can just pop out 144 eggs just at the snap of the fingers just because some... city boy wants to stack them in a bowl for an Easter parade. that was very entitled of me, and I'm sorry, everyone.
Matt?
That seems good enough, right? I mean,
come on. Yes, it's me, your therapist. The reason you couldn't get an emergency session with me today is because this was your emergency session. You know the movie The Game?
Of course, I love that movie.
Well, I know you do. This was the therapy version of that. None of this is real. There's no such thing as an egg festival for Easter. Chickens don't behave based on apologies, but look what you were capable of doing. You overcame your fear of public speaking, your fear of chickens, your fear of farmers. And then there was deeper stuff you had mentioned.
Like apologizing.
Apologizing. That was the big one. Yeah, yeah. So I'm a little overwhelmed. This was a huge undertaking for me.
That's true. But now I have trust issues.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you may be getting an invite to a new festival sometime soon to deal with those.
Let's listen to another song.
Telethon, that song was a lot of fun. All your songs are fun, but what are you going to give us next, please?
This next song is called Modern Abrasive off of the EP we put out a couple years ago by the same name, Modern Abrasive.
I'm on a forest crawling around on a hardwood floor, and I'm searching for a contact lens. I wish it I could say it's the first time, but I just fired off a message, said it happened again. And in between blind scans, I hold my fist to my phone, check the stars that it says he's typing. Couple words of encouragement I'm at least understanding, but all that's all that I'm reading is nothing. Focus on the way you punctuate it. Your senses is not anymore. Hope is not too late. I hope that we can wait a few more hours till I get home. How am I supposed to get through? Well, I'm here. There's not a lot I can do for you. Oh, how am I supposed to go on? Will the port shut down all up and the shades are outdrawn? Trick is that there's literally always traffic of cars. Like I conjure up a primal screen from my seat and on the edge of the Tacoma. So when the wheeze with excuses that I don't even notice, and I'm swerving crossing lines in the road. Oh, 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 oh. Meow. Focus on the way you punctuate it. Your senses is not anymore. Hope it's not too late. I hope that we can wait a few more hours till I get. Why these modern embraces so goddamn abrasive? Modern embraces, uh-huh. Why these modern embraces so goddamn abrasive? Modern embraces, uh-huh. Well, it's not quite what you wanted, but ugly. I could doubt it. Be a pain in the ass to return now that you got it. Somehow you look at it. What was ever if you wanted it? It's easy to see. The crush you take upon it. Or the modern embraces you got.
Another great, fun song, guys. Thanks.
You thank you so much.
And maybe it's not a fun song. That happens to me sometimes.
No, that's fun.
Good. Rest assured. Like, that's about my brother dying or something. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Jeez, that's it.
All the songs we write are sad, but they sound fun.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, that's the best songs.
So can you tell us what this is about?
Sure. This one is about the pressures of modern relationships. And it doesn't have to be a, you know, domestic partnership, or it could be a friendship, it could be a family member, it could be your significant other. The pressures that are put on one another, and how even the smallest thing can sometimes seem like it's going to make the other person extremely mad. And maybe they are extremely mad. So in one of the examples here, like, you know, you're late coming home because you lost your contact lens on the floor. That's one of the lyrics, because that happened. And you're digging around for the contact lens. You're like, I'm going to be 15 minutes late. I can't find my contact lens. And then you're worried that,
love that.
You're worried that the person you're in a relationship with is going to be mad at you because, you know, you had plans. And, you know, just these modern embraces can feel so goddamn abrasive sometimes. And that's the final refrain of the song.
That's why I don't have contact lenses. To
I stopped wearing them and my life has improved. I'm all glasses all the time.
Let's start a scene right there. We see the guy entering the house with the hangdog look. Honey?
Yeah?
Okay, before you say anything.
I mean, feel free to round the corner and see me here to sitting in front of two candles burnt all the way down in front of a fully cooked, cold roast beef. I don't need to say anything. Beef. Yeah, I made our special roast beef. But no, go ahead. What's going on?
With new potatoes and base on.
Yeah. What's going on?
Okay.
Excuse me, mademoiselle. You only pay for the violin for 2 hours, so I am going to leave now. I am sorry.
Okay, I understand.
Oh my God, is that Francois Vichyssois from yes. the... We're such big fans.
Yeah, well, Francois. If you were big fans, you would have been here when I started my violin set. Good day.
But I have all your, I have you live, I have your vinyl live at the Riviera.
I've never seen a violinist stomp out of a room. I didn't think it was a thing in their nature, but here we go.
I didn't know they had that heavy of feet.
Well, that's why their fingers can be so light, is all the weight is in their feet. You have to keep a strong bass, which we chatted about in some of the free time we had to kill. But go ahead, sweetie. I'm sorry. Is everything okay? Okay. Did anything really bad happen?
Yeah, well, we've talked about the scale of bad in our fights before, so I don't want to have to bring up that scale, but it seems like it's going to happen. But I lost my prescription sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The ones that in the day turn into sunglasses at night are good for night vision driving.
Right. Look.
I couldn't figure out where they were.
Sure.
And yeah. It took, and like you've
hours.
Said to me, and I quoted you to myself, retrace your steps.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you last remember having them?
Mm-hmm.
And I did all that. And it took 2 hours.
Well, you don't have to retrace every single step necessarily, because that really extends the time, but just places you might have taken them off. And I struggle to be mad at you right now, because those transition lenses look so cool on you. But at some point, this becomes
yeah,
a
look,
pattern.
When I step into the kitchen where there's more light, they
don't
adjust.
Do it. Don't do it in the middle of a fight.
Living room.
Don't do it in the middle of a fight. I know how they work, and it looks awesome, but I'm trying to be present with you about this moment right now. I'm so disappointed. I prepared for this. Couldn't you have started looking earlier? Couldn't you have gotten your things earlier?
But you don't look for things till you need them, right, sweetie pie? And when I was retracing, right. I thought of everything you said. You said retrace. And then I just started doing all the work of the day again. So I just started, I made copies again. So now I have double copies of everything for work tomorrow.
You relived your whole day.
Took a lot of time retracing.
You don't have to do the actions again. Well, can I ask this?
How else do you retrace?
Do you want to take me through the steps you did, or
we'll have to go back to the office?
Okay. And how did you get there without your vision?
What do you mean?
You didn't have the transition sunglasses to see, right? So how did you get to the office again when you were retracing your steps?
No. I could never leave the office, sweet, sweet honey pie.
Knock, 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 knock.
Come in.
Who's that this time of night?
Hey, everybody. Hi. I'm from Rent-A-Center. I'm here to take back this table, these candle wicks, these plates, these forks, and also the ambiance TV that you also rented out.
Hey, you can't take back those wicks. We buy the whole fucking candle, man.
Well, you can keep the candles, but the actual thing that they're in, we have to take those. Because at Rent-A-Center,
okay, those are sticks, right? Those are called sticks, not wicks. Are those wicks?
I'm going to be honest with you. I fight people who usually... who usually like get aggressive with me like this, but your shades are really cool, so I'm going to give you a pass.
Don't you get these for 24 hours? You rent these by the hour, sweetie pie?
Yes, I rented them by the hour because it seemed like we would only need them for the 2-hour dinner, and then we
even
would
if we were having romantic dinner, these guys would be barreling in here at the end of dinner.
I'm going to be honest. I did not know they were going to be so exact with their timing.
Hey, man, if we let one person get a little bit more time, then everybody's going to be trying to finagle the system.
That's what Charles Barkley says at the end of the commercials.
All right, guys, roll it out. Oh, roll the table out.
That makes me so horny when you quote Charles Barkley. Anyone on the TNT crew?
Well, yeah. You know, I was going to do my whole you got to be a bus driver speech to get respect, but I'm not going to do that anymore.
Are you driving the bus or are you riding? Oh, please.
Honey, don't.
It.
No, you're not getting the speech because you didn't. You could not respect my time today. All right. Look, can we...
Oh, do Mark Jackson. There goes that man, please.
With all due respect, I'm not doing Mark Jackson, except for the with all due respect part I just did. Okay. I will hold hands and pray on the devil if you want to do that Mark Jackson impression, the darker sides of him.
Okay, hold on.
Honey.
I want to get this guy out of here.
Oh, sir, yeah.
I'm going to rent these wicks for another... Fuck it, 24 hours.
Ooh.
Full day.
Ooh. And will you be paying?
I don't want you here at 10 p.m. tomorrow, though. let's just do 16 hours.
Okay.
See what you're... Okay, there. Now, does that work?
And that's cash or check?
Do you take Bitcoin?
Not since the crash, but if they go back up, we'll be back taking Bitcoin again. But as of right now, we only take cash or check, no credit.
You see what's happening here? You're haggling with the Rent-A-Center guy instead of being on a date with me. I feel like you're trying to avoid something. I feel like these are all, you know, if you want to tell me something, tell me, you know, or am I just, I know you're a creative.
Okay, fuck it. I'm having an affair. At the office.
With who?
With one of my coworkers.
I knew it. I knew it was going to be one of your coworkers. I knew it.
Well, who else would it be at work?
Don't try to take the power away from me. I knew when you said it was at the office, it was going to be one of your coworkers, and I want to hold on to that.
Hey, miss, do you want to rent one of these glasses so you can fill it with wine to throw it in his face?
Thank you. I would love that, actually. How much?
Okay.
I'd like one of those chairs then and a bunch of napkins and a tablecloth, a large tablecloth for like a wedding.
This is really racking up. Okay.
Okay. Well, then I would like, let's see. Well, I'm a pint of ice cream. I'm going to stress eat some ice cream later. So.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to give you my Rent-A-Center spousal fight menu. So if you can take a look at these and just see kind of the things that you want.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. Well, then I'm going to have this mariachi band, the three piece. Have them get really loud on anytime she tries to say something, have them start up a song.
I'll take the tea kettle that starts boiling over at the exact time of my emotions as a representational metaphor.
Okay. Great choice. Great choice.
Now, what is this part of the package?
I want one of those too, then.
Okay, well, now you're just.
I want the big one. I want that extra large.
Ooh, extra large. Okay.
Oh, wait. You can get it pre-boiled?
Yeah, you can't get it pre-boiled.
Okay, pre-boiled.
That is so irresponsible. It's so expensive. Just boil the water for a minute. See, this is just like you. Here, can I get. Yeah, and another thing.
Let's talk some more about that song.
Telethon was, I'm going to tell you, if Dan was going to tell you what was going through his head when he really did that whole regrets thing, even though you said it pretty regular, when you first started to play, I was like, they just played this song. I was like, this song just sounds like the last song. But I say that only because I was remembering Soundcheck.
Right.
Like, they did a Soundcheck before, so I heard the song. So I was like, man, I was thinking it was like one of those kind of things that I remember a long time ago when I first was listening to the Ramones, and I was listening to like a Ramones greatest hits thing or whatever. And I was like at an In-N-Out or something. I was eating. And I was like, man, this song is like really long. And I looked and it had been like eight songs. And I could not tell the difference.
That's the type of psychological warfare that we like to put people under.
Yeah, it was all very intentional.
That contact lens, you guys, that you did that part of the song in the sound check. And it also stuck out. Then that's a clever line.
Thank you.
I really like that last lyric about humans are only around 80 years. Chew on that. Get back to me sometime.
Yeah. Thank you. I had to Google that when I wrote that lyric about the average lifespan of the human being in about 2018. I think it is about 80.
I think it's gone down.
You guys are going to have to readjust that number every 5 years.
Yeah. We have a couple of those. There's also a song that's like 2007 was 12 years ago, but it was released, you know, three. So I've had to change it to 2007, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, that's so funny you do the math.
It's like I Can't Drive 55. Sammy Hagar.
Right.
Yes.
I can't drive.
Well,
70.
You don't need to. It's 65 to 85. Right.
It's like when people do this song where it's like, so I made the call, but they changed whatever it is to like cell phone now or whatever the thing, like yeah. The lyrics. But I always feel like when people do that, they make a, they really make a show of it. They don't just like implement it regularly. It's always being like, and so then I use my cell phone and then just the song continues to keep going or whatever.
Yeah, that is annoying when people do that. I haven't really noticed that until you just pointed it out. That's pretty annoying. They should keep it old. I mean, there's so much old school stuff out there. They should just keep the lyric the way it was.
Yeah, it maintains the time it was written in.
I'm firmly against doing that.
Keep all our Bitcoin references in our songs.
Yeah, they're going to be, if we reference Bitcoin, it's going to stay there.
Yep.
So I'm on a weekly basis on the show. There's a generation gap reference, a reference that shows it. And like, yeah, like, talking about songs, it often happens. And, do you guys know what pop tops are?
Like
everyone on this,
like the cans.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I stepped on a pop top.
Yeah.
Like in Margaritaville.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Ronnie, do you know what a pop top is?
No. Tell me.
Dan?
I could guess, but no.
But you see, isn't that funny? So before your guys' time, beer cans and soda cans, when you'd open them, the top would just come off. It'd just be this metal shard, basically.
Yeah. So,
and that only changed within my childhood, I guess. So I'm going to guess it was the early 70s at some point. But when you were a kid, just like their cigarette butts now... Anywhere there's cigarette butts now, there'd be pop tops and cigarette butts. Mm. So, the lyric is "Bust out my flip flop, stepped on a pop top."
It's and I always wondered
the opposite
if it's like Jimmy Buffett busted his flip flop and then stepped on a pop top, or if the pop top broke the flip flop.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Could be interpreted.
I think, because I have true story, fellas.
Have you met James?
That was our last episode with Earle, but no. but I, in Destin, Florida, as a high school teenager on my senior break, stepped on a goddamn pop top on the beach, and it did what you'd think it would do, and it just split open my foot. And we had to go, and I was drunk as shit. A 16-year-old drunk, too, the most pathetic of all the drunks. So drunk in the most pathetic way. And also, you're not supposed to be drunk, you know, and I got to go to the emergency room. I just have to go. So I'm drunk in the emergency room. I have to get stitches. I have to explain to doctors why I'm drunk, what I did.
I stepped on a pop top.
Jimmy Buffett was on a grassy knoll observing the whole event. And he wrote the song.
He was so proud of me.
He actually updated it. Now it's crop top. It's the more.
I feel like you would just think that was kind of a rag. If you saw it laying on the ground.
It's very specific.
Jimmy was
cut.
Losing his mind.
Wait, so does the top, so is it like what our cans now, but instead the top would just come off, or would it like even a different construction of how it came off?
So the space where you drink from was more shaped like a teardrop. These days it's more circular. Those days it was more like a teardrop, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. With the point of the tear facing your lips. Mm-hmm. So when you pulled it off, it would kind of curl like that, the metal part that you're pulling off. Mm. So if it's sitting on the ground, it is like a little shard of metal sticking up. Mm. It's not flat.
Really, it's turns like the can curved into more of a cup.
Yes.
Right? Mm.
I don't know. Kind of. It's not so much different.
The tab is just
tops were ruthless.
Yeah,
I'm
it just
sure
comes
the,
off.
The fish didn't like them.
No, yeah, I was gonna say this probably was a lot of childhood danger from
there's
that sort of thing.
Is it like that?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there, it is. Oh, okay.
There it is. That's
don't
it.
Step on that.
I'm
See,
thinking
look at
of
that.
That
looks insidious.
That looks like a military-grade weapon. Oh my yeah, God. I knew what you were talking about because my grandpa had a beer can collection, and I was like, why does it look like this? And then he told me. That was what I knew.
He told me. But for years, he wouldn't tell you. Let's do that
it was
scene.
A secret. I had to wait till I was scene. Of age.
I told you kids, don't ask me about those beer cans and the tops of them. Now just go out there and play with your computer screens, whatever the hell you're doing these days.
Grandpa, we're so curious about you and your life, and you're so reverent to this room. I mean, it was years before you even unlocked the door to get in here.
I stacked all these cans myself. Every one of these beer cans is a different flavor of beer, even though some of them are from the same company. You see these Budweisers?
Uh-huh.
There's four different kinds of Bud Lights. This was a big deal in the late 80s.
Wow. What do you mean different kinds? Like...
Shut the door. Your father and mom would kill me. Shut the door and get in here.
Whoa. It's happening. It's happening.
Whoa, I can't believe it.
All right. I'm going to tell you all about beer cans.
Wow.
Now, in the old days, come over to the bottom stack here. You see, watch this. I can pull ones out of the bottom without the whole stack falling.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you're like Chris Angel.
Don't bring up any magicians around me. This is all real in here.
Sorry, Grandpa, please.
You see these Coors Light? We used to call these silver bullets.
Whoa.
Hold
like
it
because
in your
they
hand.
Killed werewolves?
Look, you hold them like this. Looks like a giant silver bullet. It kills your sobriety is what it kills.
Oh, wow.
Wow. When you say it like that, that sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Look at these yellow Coors cans. You ever seen these ones?
I thought they were just old.
Nope. They used to be yellow. This is back when people thought that Colorado spring water was actually something special.
Whoa.
And people would, it was considered the champagne of beer, Coors beer. People would say, oh, I just came back from Colorado. I got me a case of Coors beer. And everyone from the neighborhood would come around and go, let me have a Coors.
Wow. Grandpa, did you drink all these beers?
Mm-hmm. One at a time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Look, now, Grandpa,
go ahead.
Is a great way to connect to you, but I've always been curious, what was Grandma like? What was it like fighting in
Vietnam? Well, that's part of the story of this stack of beers. Because of this stack of beers, I didn't really get to know Grandma so much. I'd come home from working, and then I was straight to working on my stack of beers. But she always cooked me a fine meal, and she made buttermilk biscuits like no other woman in the Ozarks.
Wow.
Hey Grandpa, so I feel like I'm getting to understand a little bit better about your life. So when your old army buddy came over and you got into that big fight because he said in Vietnam you were too busy looking for exotic beer cans instead of watching his six, is that what is
Well, speaking of watching a six and beer cans over there in Vietnam, their six is R12 on the beer cans. They have their beer, the opening to the beer can is on the other side when you open it.
What?
And I was trying to find one of those beer cans.
How could you tell?
Every time I took a beer from someone, that's where it was facing.
So they would drink beer with the lip on the opposite side of where we hold the lip of the beer?
No, you open the beer on the opposite side and you twist it around.
No wonder you let all your friends get killed. That's fascinating.
I wanted to know their culture. Some of my army buddies were just bent on just, they saw them as just animals. I was like, no, these are interesting people with their own culture. They're just like us.
Yeah.
And then they killed cool all your friends?
And they killed all my friends. I was a POW. For 3 years, and they fed me nothing but excellent rice beer.
Oh, the beer. Well, you still got to drink beer. Thank God.
Only beer, but it was really good. And they have these cool cans over there. They're kind of made out of different kind of material.
Wow. Yeah.
Here, let's go back into the antique closet back here. Push that Pabst Blue Ribbon right there on the ribbon.
Oh, it's just a can, though.
Yeah, push it.
Whoa.
Okay, come back here. Yeah, my pop tops.
Whoa.
These are all my pop tops.
This must have really taken a lot of your life to drink all of these.
Right.
Well, don't focus on that. Focus on how cool Pop Tops are.
Pop Tops. Oh, I know Pop Tops. Dad says that you threw out all of his award-winning trophies and things from all his childhood in order to make rooms for your effing Pop Tops, is what he said. That's what these are.
Well, what he didn't realize is those were just participation trophies, which have zero value in any sense, whereas my Pop Tops have worth and value. They're actually rare right now.
Okay.
Wow. Go ahead. Try one on. Put them on your fingers. I used to put ones on my toes.
Okay. Well, considering the fact that our dad is Michael Phelps, I think some of those awards are... I think some of those awards are valid. Like... What happened to the gold? He said he gave you one of his many gold medals. Like, what happened to
that? Oh, you think swimming's a sport, too. Liquid is meant to be drank, not swam in.
I wonder if this
your
is why...
Your fucking pothead father. What's that, Michael Jr.?
Oh, you know, you answered my question. I was going to say, I wonder if this is why Dad ended up turning to the bong instead.
Okay, boys. Now that... But knowing where my pop-top collections are now... It's a big responsibility. You know how to get into the closet, so I don't want you playing with these pop-tops when I'm not around. Okay?
Yeah. Sir, yes, sir.
Yes, sir, sir.
Yeah, that's right. You respond to me like my friends in the military. We cut to 6 hours later. Grandpa's out working in the barn, and the kids are messing around near his closet.
Hey. How cool is Grandpa?
Man, he's the coolest. I don't know why Dad hates him so much.
Dad sucks, dude.
Yeah, Dad does suck. And you know what? And Grandpa's right. Liquid is meant to be drank, not swam in.
Hey, you know what would be a really cool gift from us to Grandpa?
What?
What if we turned some of his cans into like a lifetime achievement award trophy?
Ooh!
And then we gave him a trophy that no one else has appreciated him.
Ooh! How will we do that, though?
Let's pull on this. Hang on a sec. That PBR can led to here, but there's like a loose. There's a loose Colt 45 over here. What's this lead to?
Whoa!
Whoa, this looks like just an empty, sad room, actually. Yeah. Never mind.
Like, well, no, it all on the wall is just, well, what's the things? It's different pictures, and under it says, well, this one says, beer I never drank, beer I never drank, beer I never found, this holy grail of beers. Still, this looks like some sort of like national treasure, like treasure hunt.
Whoa. We could find Grandpa's beer treasure for him.
Yeah. All the beers that have eluded his grasp, we could be the ones to find and bring it to him.
Welcome. We cut to like 48 hours later. They've gone into this maze of tunnels that start underneath the house and lead into the city. And they've gone on all these adventures till they finally get down to this chest, this ice chest of old beer cans. But then they see next a skeleton next to the beer cans or next to this chest. And
oh shit! The last
Michael
man.
Jr.?
Yeah,
I think he might be in over our heads, man. This guy died trying to find the ancient beer can.
Chlorine, we can do this, okay? This guy was alone. This is you and me, and it's the power of Grandpa.
I'm just still so upset with Dad. He named you Michael Jr. and then he named me Chlorine. And I'm a guy. I'm a boy. It's not even like a boy's name.
Oh, I've always been jealous of you. He loves Chlorine more than he loves himself. He's always in Chlorine. I think that's the compliment.
Anyway, well, okay. Well, if we're going to die, at least it's for Grandpa.
Who enters the cave of malt beverages?
It is I, Chlorine Phelps.
And I, Michael Phelps Jr.
Oh, the prophecy has foretold the two of you to enter here.
And then suddenly the tunnels fill up with malt liquor.
If you like beer so much, why don't you drink your way out of here?
And we cut to a successful montage of them drinking them wet themselves. Because sometimes you don't know your superpower until you're under some stress, and especially when you're doing something for a loved one. And scene.
Let's listen to another song.
Wow.
Sometimes I like to end scenes just with a moral. Because sometimes listeners, they don't get the moral. They just think we're trying to make them laugh. I'm like, no. We're making you better as humans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like, if you're a child, like, drink as much as you can. Like, you can do it. You can do it.
If it's for grandpa.
Great moral.
If it's for grandpa, drink as much as you can. You can do it.
I brought up too many weird, real references to my real grandfather in that you'll just have to pick out of that.
I was gonna say, it felt very personal.
He did have a gun closet, though, that was behind a other closet where I found his gun once.
Just one gun in there?
It was one handgun, yeah. It was a Colt. In fact, you've referenced Colt. All right, Telethon, can we get one last song from you guys? This has been so much fun.
We're having a great time. Thank you for entertaining us.
Yeah, we're just having a great time listening to it. Thank you.
Well, that last song, people would have been in the parking lot. Like, a lot of people don't come to the festival until later because they're just there for the headliner, which is so lame.
I agree.
I always get there at noon. Ronnie, if it's the one that starts at noon.
Right.
And my festival will, if not 11 a.m.
The 11 a.m. like meet and greet pancake brunch with Matt Besser.
We have a silent disco that starts at 8 a.m. But you're in the parking lot and you hear the band playing and you're so excited. You're like, we got to run. That's what that second song would have been.
Oh, sweet.
You don't want to miss this. And now the third song is starting as that couple arrives and they say, see, it is Telethon. And then they're mad and they're like, they should have put them up at the fucking 8 p.m. slot. Why is it the noon slot?
We just got here. You can't complain right away.
This festival was.
I'm just giving my opinion. Don't argue.
This festival is supposed to save our relationship, yeah. Not make it worse.
All right, let's just enjoy the third song. They're starting. I'm going to mute myself. You should mute your mouth too, honey.
Okay, but I'm keeping my big hat on.
What's up, Bezerfest? This is our third song. It's called Positively Clark Street.
Chrysler town and country whistle blowing through a stoplight in the middle of a North Chicago suburb in the middle of another bummer of an afternoon. Had to say that I was up to something. You heard me sound a bit around a hotel in a far off state. Suppose it's time we had a conversation of the type I learned to kind of like in hindsight, but the type I the way the city smells and the summertime come late July. It's Star the Amtrak spark. It's the dog shit in the park. It's the sludge dripping down into my parking spot. I could really use a word or two that'd cast away the doubt. I could really use a story we could both cry tears about. And I could really use some rain. I can't spot a single cloud, so there's nothing I can do about it now. Weirdo statue with a teal patina, but not the type you'd ever want to pay for. Something took me down unexpectedly. I started pounding by my eyelids, subtle and resounding in the center of my forehead, and the pound became a knock, and the knock politely said, man, I hate the way you hate, the way this city sells itself to passers by come late July. Streets are blocked off by the field where the masses have congealed, looking like blue shade flags round beer crank when you're the one not having fun. Every weekend brings a range of mange and anger till it's done. Finding on and wait it out. Pray no lightning from those clouds.
That is a great song, guys.
Thank you.
Great songs. I know our listeners are heading to buy your music right now. But hey, listeners, listening to the show, it's not over. That's a really good song. So I was going to ask, is that Clark Street in Chicago you're talking about? And then I hear Chicago in the lyrics. So
correct.
It must be.
Yep.
So tell me what that song's about, if we can hear.
Yeah, that was written when I lived in the city of Chicago. Mm. I lived there for like 4 years. Gene over there still lives in Chicago. And I lived over by Wrigley Field, and I would walk outside being in my head or, you know, on a summer's day, it's beautiful out, and I'd walk around and... On one side, you have Boys Town, and on one side, you have Wrigleyville. Everybody's having fun. And what's worse when you yourself are not having fun and everybody around is having a blast and getting drunk and partying? And it's like the feeling of just, fuck all these people. But really, you know, the end of the song is kind of me talking myself into... letting those people have fun, and they're not hurting you by having fun. It's really your own problems that you're dwelling on that is making you interpret them that way. So it's kind of like bad day and then brain switching it to a good day, hopefully.
I love it. Good message. So now let's just start that message. Then I'm going to small town you for a second. But
sure.
We cut to... Wrigleyville. And if you don't know Wrigleyville, it's called Wrigleyville because it's by Wrigley Stadium. And during the spring to summer, Clark Street, the name of the song here, positively Clark Street for blocks has all these bars where people pregame and aftergame. So you get drunk people. Very drunk people, for better or for worse, whatever your opinion is on that. Sometimes it's for better, sometimes it's for worse. But it is going on hard. And the Cubs, in this scenario, have just made the playoffs. And you know the Cubs historically suck. So when the Cubs make the playoffs, people in Chicago get fucking excited with strangers. And we see Sad Dan... not really into sports because he decided if you're into comedy, you can't be into sports and comedy at the same time. Some guys are like that. Hey, man, the Cubs, we made it. We're in the playoffs, dude.
Okay,
what's up, buddy? Congrats, what's man. Sad face?
Improvised Shakespeare was sold out. And
that's why you're out on the sidewalk.
Yeah, well, and this woman I have a crush on was going to see the show, and like she got in with this other guy who I think she likes, and it's just like never gonna work out for me, man.
Sorry, for just one second, I just want to scream like a maniac. Woo! Cubbies! Yeah, motherfuckers! Everybody else, fuck off! Oh, man, that feels good. So what were you saying about a girl you like?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to have a day, okay? I'm just trying to, like, I think I'm just going to get, like, a scotch at one of these places and try to sit quietly and write.
Go Cubs! Hey, what's up, guys? Go Cubs!
Oh,
hey.
Go Cubs go is what I'm saying.
Hey, man, you look pretty tall, so you must definitely be into sports. So, wait, do you play for the Bulls or something or what, man?
Well, no, Jed Buechler's my dad, but, like, I kind of went the other direction.
Oh, man, you're a Bushler?
I love the Bushlers.
That's Chicago royalty right there, man. So go Cubs.
Oh, woo! Go Cubs. That's almost like a Steve Kerr coming down the street. Holy fucking shit, hey, dude.
Man, that's actually my journal that you just took out of my hands. I actually have a lot of important thoughts in there.
Need to make confetti, my man.
No, please. Oh, no.
Fuck yeah. Hot dogs and fucking Cubs.
Hey, man. Why is this such a good thing for you? Did you play in the game?
Nah, man, but that's the whole thing. Don't you get it? I don't know this guy just came up to me or you, but this is the one thing we can be excited about. Unless you're excited about abortion being abolished too, like me, we can yell about that.
You're excited about that? You fucking...
Yeah, let's just yell about that, huh?
No.
I mean, now we got the Cubs to be happy about.
I mean, I'm not that excited about that issue myself, but only because I never use condoms.
Oh, I could yell about that, my friend. We could all be on the same page on that.
Go Cubs!
Woo, woo! No condoms! Cubbies! Hot dogs! See, there's certain things we can all be on the same page about, and the Cubs' victory is one of them. Improvised Shakespeare? I don't know. We're all going to be whooping it up about that.
Well, I don't even know what that is, man. All I know is hot dogs, raw dogs, and baseball. And baseball.
Oh, you can come up with another dog thing that's baseball.
Man, I'm
my
too
cubby
drunk.
Dogs.
I'm too drunk right now to really be as clever as I usually am when I'm a little bit more sober.
Yeah, I mean, that was good, those first two, though. Did you hear that? Connecting with a total stranger, raw dog, hot dog. That was hilarious. I'm gonna remember that tomorrow morning.
I feel like even though you guys are strangers, you're cut from, like, the same exact cloth, and you're not really, like, people with differing opinions connecting. I think that stuff like baseball and sports and mass entertainment is used to numb us from the actual horrors that are going around and that are being perpetrated on us by corporations and the
government. Noam Bum Meowski over here.
Right. Hey, man, you need to loosen up, man. You need to get that long hair out of your eyes, take off that long duster, and just really enjoy what everybody else got going on.
Shave that long Shakespeare goatee.
Oh, now they're never going to let me in improvise Shakespeare.
Dude, just slap a C on and join the party. Come on, just yell, man. It's fun. Look, what's the last thing you've yelled about? Do you get to yell in Shakespeare? Oh, my shagged-eared villain.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like Shakespeare.
I feel like you secretly like Shakespeare. You made a Noam Chomsky reference. I think you're secretly smart.
No way, dude.
What's that supposed to mean?
No way, dude. This guy that I just met, he's just like me, dude. We're dumb as rocks. We like the Cubs. There's no way he likes Noam Chomsky. No way, dude. No way. Here, man. I got an extra Cubs hat for you if you want to wear that to really get into the moment, man.
Come on, I'll put it on. Just wear the Cubs hat. You can flip it around backwards like an improviser.
Okay, yeah. Maybe when I wear this hat on stage now, people won't notice I'm balding.
Nothing wrong with balding. Look at all the sports fans around you.
No, totally. I've got no judgment.
Better to balance a beer can on your head, my friend.
Look, my mom has told me that I should start being a little more social and maybe it'll help. So I'll stick around with you guys if I can have the remainder of my journal back. And if you stop kind of like get your arm, I don't want to have your arm wrapped around me this whole time. You're kind of sweaty. Is that okay?
Okay. Here's your what's left over your journal.
It's just.
Do you mind if I read a little bit of it?
It's so personal. Really, please. And it's like poetry. Hey, and.
Journal, me again. Oh, I see you do that every time. Me again, every time?
Okay, yeah, I mean.
Hey, journal, me again.
Me again, and that's a pretty thick journal. You do this every time? Journal, that's at least 800 pages in it.
Don't you get really upset sometimes? You just have to get right to it? You want to skip, hey, journal, me again?
No, I don't know. I always put it in there. What if so? I don't know. It just feels like, what if someone else wrote my journal? I want to kind of like set it up that it's me.
Oh, okay. Let me read on.
Did you guys see the Judd Apatow, Gary Shandling documentary where they read all his journals?
Oh, I think I did.
I'm hoping that one day when I, you know, finally break out as a poet or a comedian or a novelist, and then I die, people will read my journals and see how hard I struggled. And it's not so easy, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think of Judd Apatow, not Anne Frank, when you think of struggles and journals, huh?
Is it a competition? Am I anti-Semitic by omission there?
No, Gary Shandling, I'm sure his journal's held up to
Anne. If there's one Jew that struggled and wrote in his journal about it, it's Gary Shandling.
All right, well, now I feel bad for making a lot of it confetti. It just says here that, hey, journal, it's me again. Tina is going to improvise Shakespeare tonight. I hope I see her there.
Yeah.
If I see her there, I might tell her. Oh, and then it's ripped off. What were you going to tell her?
I was going to tell her that I've been pining for her for years. I was going to profess to her, you know, that she's the.
And as he continues speaking, we see this improviser girl exit the improv club, and she's kind of walking up behind this guy, Dan, and here's what he's saying.
She's the sun in my sky. She's the stars in my eye. I was going to tell her that without her, I'm like a fish out of water, a cheetah without his stripes, a zebra without his spots.
Dan?
Oh, Tina. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Did you not get into improvised Shakespeare either?
You didn't get in? I thought I saw you go in with Ted.
Ted, I would never watch with him. He always mumbles Shakespeare lines under his breath during improvised Shakespeare.
Oh yeah, no, the whole point is it's in the moment. You can't be pre-prepared stuff. Yeah.
You get it.
Well, hey, do you want to go to Chicago Diner and get some of that vegetarian pastrami you were always talking about? I'm sorry, I'm kind of distracted. These guys are making like tit signs behind you.
Let's listen to another song.
Yeah, now I'm going to small town you, because I lived there in that same neighborhood for many years. So now I'm going to ask specifically where you lived. I lived on Seminary. Do you know Seminary?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So where'd you live?
Well, I lived at Halstead and Cornelia. And Gene, where did you live?
I was Addison and Broadway.
So you guys lived on rather busy street corners.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you could hear every home
run. Because Addison's is one of the big cross streets, and obviously Broadway is always a big street.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I learned to like Addison because it's actually slightly easier to drive down. Mm-hmm. There's good through traffic. This is what I care about living in the city, is driving.
But isn't Clark, you mentioned it's... So there's Wrigleyville, which I described already, and there's Boys Town, which is literally one... block over.
Yeah. Right? Correct. I lived in the between block. Like, I lived on Cornelia between Boys Town and Wrigleyville, mm-hmm. almost quite literally. Yeah. So it's like I go one way and I see Boys Town, and I go the other way, I see the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Dan brought this up on purpose, but, or Ronnie, whoever put it outside an improv club, or did I? Did I put outside?
It was me. Yeah, it was me.
But that's where Improv Olympic was. Did you know that, Dan?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I started doing improv, was right on that block. Oh. So I have so many memories, bad and good.
Well, that's what that song's about, the bad and the good.
Yeah, exactly. So I related to that.
Oh, the lyric, so do you really hate the way that the city smells during that period of the year?
Yes. On a bad day, the city of Chicago, like, and most cities don't smell great when the sun's kind of cooking all of the stuff that's in the concrete and, you know, all of the areas.
New York smells like piss, like so bad. San Francisco smells like piss. A lot of the cities smell like piss, but I'd say Chicago smells, it has the piss, but it is more beer. It smells more like beer in my mind in that area of the town, because it's all over the goddamn sidewalks being sprayed out into the street.
Yeah. And the train just has such an industrial, I guess all cities have, you know, public transportation, but for some reason the L train just has a certain industrial smell, and it drops sludge all over the roofs of the cars, and I don't know. I love Chicago now, but
I was going to continue on the positive that Boys Town is the gay bars, and then you have the theater district kind of too that runs. You have a billion theaters in this area,
awesome,
too. So it's such different cultures, pretty much getting along, I guess.
Yeah.
That's as far as I've observed. Great.
But they're pretty much, they're slammed up against each other, and it's not like it's a mix. Like there's a gay bar next to a sports bar. It's like one street's gay bar, or at least it was in the 90s when I was there.
No, it's still pretty much the same way.
Yeah.
And all these you think there can't be a need for this many sports bars, but yet there is.
I will say Boys Town is more fun. Yeah. I think.
We cut to the neighborhood in between these two. So if we take a left, we end up in Wrigleyville. And I know this margarita place. I think margarita is actually in the title, where you get a pitcher of margaritas and a sombrero if you drink the whole thing. And if we go the other direction, there's a really good gay bar that I think is called Bar Bar. It definitely some play on the word bar or something. And they have great dance music and blowjobs in the bathroom.
I think we should tell you that the reason me and my husband have came here, because we we're going to put our baby down in the middle of the street, and whichever direction the baby goes is the way he would turn off. So if he goes So if he goes this way, he's going to be like an athlete. He's going to be really big into like athletics and stuff. But if he goes this way, he's going to be homosexual. We love him either way.
Wait, you're saying gay people can't be great athletes? That's weird.
That's what we think. So
that's what you guys think.
That's what we think. You know. But,
well, speaking of can't be great athletes, it's a little more nuanced than that. Of course, if you go kind of northeast, there's a bar that if you finish the whole bottle of Manischewitz, you can leave with a yarmulke.
There are subtle directional ways your baby could go.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if like religion is involved in this for y'all, or if you're set on religious ideals, but that could be part of what the baby's choosing.
Okay, well, and that's what we want. We know that this point in this city is like the area that can go to many different directions, and we just want to know right at the bat what type of child we're raising.
Great.
Okay. I'm gonna be honest, and it's not my baby. I hope it doesn't find a side and ends up in one of these brownstones in the middle and ends up just being a great gay athlete.
Well, that's not up to you. That's up to the baby. That's up to the baby.
I can't even believe I said that. I hate people who tell people how to raise their kids. You let that baby down the sidewalk.
All right.
It goes.
Okay, Junior, do your thing.
Ooh, moving.
Okay. Well, it looks like he's kind of going towards, there's like a new place that's all like, it's a Dungeons and Dragons kind of like yeah. people go there to play that and also okay. drink yeah. coffee.
That's just a full nerd.
Yeah, that one would be kind of tough for us. Hopefully, he just
well, a lot
you
of
have a nerd in your family.
No way, not at all.
Vin Diesel plays D&D, and The Last Witcher is all about his character, and it was one of the great action movies he's made.
Hmm. We know which bar you'd walk into.
Okay. All right. So, okay. Now the baby's kind of making a different directional turn.
Oh. Okay. Oh, he's going to a sports bar, but it has just cricket. cricket matches on the TVs.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe like.
All right. It came out that bar and it's kind of looking around now. It pulled out the little baby compass we gave it.
Now here it goes. Oh, this is an interesting.
There's
bar.
There's a metal bar nearby that might fuck up with the magnetism of the compass.
Oh, like, the bar they play metal, or the bar is made of metal.
It's all the metal studs in there from people watching metal. Okay, where's he going now? Oh, stay away from the L track.
I
warned you guys, the L track cuts through this both neighborhoods.
You don't want your baby cut in half by a train, right? Like at some point you would stop the baby if it crawls through there?
The baby decides the baby's future. We decided that, me and my wife decided that from day one.
We cut to the baby, it somehow managed to wiggle its way into Wrigley Field and get past security, and it's making its way to the pitcher's mound. Oh my God, it's almost to the pitcher's mound. There's no way a baby can make a pitch to the mound at this age.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Sammy Sosa for his pregame home run extravaganza. Stepping up to the plate.
The baby has a ball.
Okay. Sammy's.
And it's winding up.
Whiff.
Whoa.
And it threw a fast. Throw easy pitches. We want to see home runs.
Wait, what is it doing? Wait.
The baby's throwing gas at Sosa.
Oh, he just nailed him in the forehead. Sosa's down.
Sosa's charging the mound.
Oh, he's beating that little baby with a bat. He's on a steroids rage.
All the babies in the crowd have cleared the bench. The babies are grabbing Sosa.
Oh, they're eating him like ants.
Wait, okay. So they're eating him? All right. And my baby has climbed to the top. It's pulling something out of his diaper. Oh, an LGBT flag. He's waving a.
Well, he's a gay cannibal. Man.
I guess me and my wife were wrong.
And scene. That's right. Parents, you can't force your children to be something. They'll just. I guess they weren't there.
And excuse me if I mess up the acronym. I was all over the place. I apologize. Anybody else? I love everyone.
So I'm going to end every podcast.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been another great week. I love everyone. No more keep being human for me. Okay, humans, I love telethon. Now you do too. These guys are on tour. As I said, they're a lot of fun. I would hate to have them be my opening band. How could you follow that? And if you're booking a festival, let's put these guys in it. Don't give them that noon slot, though, that Ronnie suggests. Slot's a bummer. Telethon, where can we find out about you and find your record, etc., besides Googling?
Well, pretty much everywhere, all streaming services, I think. And then telethonband.bandcamp.com if you want to buy stuff directly from us. Music, merch, listen to all the records, download them for free. They're all up there for free. So, yeah, talk to us on social media, too. It's all run by, like, us. So we're pretty, we don't have any middle managers.
You didn't need to push that free thing. Buy a full album.
Yeah, I would appreciate, we would appreciate money, but.
Get some vinyl. I was at a show last night, man. They, Bright Eyes, he had crates of fucking vinyl. Whoa. So you guys bring a ton of vinyl? Like how I say vinyl? Sing it like that.
Yeah.
Do you bring a lot of it on the road now?
Not as much as Bright Eyes does, for sure. But we do definitely bring a small box of it when we play live.
Yeah, we got some. We got some stuff.
We got all the records.
Yeah, CDs, shirts.
Sweet. I got everything.
A fish theme shirt.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
A fish theme shirt.
The band fish.
The band fish.
Not the animal.
The disgust on your
like
face.
That's what I thought you meant. But I was like, why?
It's, like the fish
it's
logo,
a parody
it's
of their symbol.
Yes, yes.
Ah. He's the,
Gene and Kevin are big fish heads. The rest of us, not so much. It's a dividing point for our band.
You know,
I've learned
I saw
to appreciate
them
what they do.
At my college before they were anybody. Do you guys look up bootlegs?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You know that bootleg site they have?
Yeah, the site
look
that
up,
they have? Yeah.
Yeah, look up the zoo show. It's either 88 or 89 at Amherst.
Okay.
It's in my house, and you can hear me and my friends.
It's in your house?
Really?
Well, the zoo, my friend's house, who managed them eventually, John Paluska, his
Holy
house.
Smokes.
But we were buddies with him. So it's in basically just a house before they were big. And there's a fire alarm in the middle of the show, and they start playing Jimi Hendrix Fire, like right as the fire alarm goes off.
Good move.
So that's why I always remember that.
If you look on their website, it probably says fire alarm went off during the set in very like detailed annotations.
Detailed. But what freaked me out, someone told me about that recently, and I can hear my friends and us, I remember us going nuts when the fire alarm finished and us coming back in and yelling shit at the stage, and we were the ones at the front of the stage. I'm like, I can hear 18-year-old, 19-year-old me being an idiot.
Whoa. We're gonna have to listen.
This is going to be listened weird? To in the van today, without a doubt.
Much to the
everyone's chagrin.
Yeah,
much to the chagrin of these three. Yeah.
Oh no, the zoo show.
I presume there was not actually a fire.
Yeah, no, just the fire alarm going off. As you couldn't have a party in those days without the fire alarm going
sure.
on. Is that still a thing? Is it still in college? You have a party and the fire alarm goes off, Brett? I know you still go to college parties on tour.
we go to bed after the show usually. We don't do that much partying. But I haven't had many fire drills recently. The only times I've experienced a fire drill recently were actual dangerous situations fires. Involving smoke.
There you go. Ronnie, what could you plug for us today? Your social media?
Yeah, Bones Adrian on all this other stuff. And also just listen to Telethon music. I know that's what I'm going to do after the show, so you should too.
Hey, thanks.
Okay, thank Dan?
Yeah. Hey, I'll agree with Ronnie. I will also listen to them while I'm driving around with my windows down. And biggrandewebsite.com, if you like improv, we have a new improv special on there called Live on Set, where we did 4 improv shows in full hair and makeup in wardrobe. Nobody knew what the set was going to be or what anyone else was wearing until they showed up on stage.
That was very
that sounds,
clever and fun
that sounds
to watch.
Great.
Thank you.
MattBesser.com, find out what I'm up to. And we never say this these days, but give Improv for Humans a rating, a positive review, even wherever you're listening to it currently. Haven't done that in a while. That would be helpful to our show. And keep being human. I love everyone. Humans, if you live in the Santa Fe, New Mexico area, Improv for Humans is going to be there August 11th. Myself, Maddie B, that's me, Danielle Schneider, my wife, will be there improvising with Eric Weiss and some of the best improvisers locally in Santa Fe. So make it there August 11th. Go to MattBesser.com for some links to get tickets.
Improv for Humans with Matt Besser is an Airwolf production. Produced by Britt Morris, Amelia Chapello, and Anita Flores. Engineered by Britt Morris. For photos, show notes, and more, go to earwolf.com.